CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Now back to Fire It Up with CJ. Be a force for good. And fire it up with CJ. Log on, fireitupwithcj.com. And call CJ now.
248-545-7685.
On CBS Radio's The Sky.
And welcome back, everyone. Welcome back to Fire It Up with CJ. We're live here at The Sky, New Horizons, No Boundaries. It is Brandon. I'm filling in for Cassandra today. And we'll send things right back over to CJ.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Fire It Up with CJ show. We are continuing our conversation with Shepherd Hoodwin, who is the author of Loving From Your Soul, Creating Powerful Relationships. And we're going to be talking about a passage that he wrote that in my heart felt like a really important thing, and my head still doesn't get it.
It will.
Okay, Shepherd. All right, so here's what the passage was from your book. You said, love comes into your experience primarily through the inner door of your heart, and further talk about and then you talk a little bit about an outer door. And first of all, I know I have four chambers, but I didn't realize I had doors. There's a whole household in my heart. I did not know, with a security door on the outside. I just didn't know that the architecture of my heart. So what is this inner outer door stuff? I don't get it. I get it at a deep level. I'm like, that is so profound. And then I thought, I have no idea what this means. What does this to do with this?
Well, each of us is ultimately an eternal soul. And the soul, like the true nature of everything in the universe, is love. Love, truth, and beauty are the fundamental building blocks of everything. And our experience here on Earth, on the physical plane, is all about exploring love, truth, and beauty, and its opposites, what it is not, so that we can have lessons, so that we can grow in our ability to love unconditionally. So the heart is where the soul enters the body. And when we open our heart, when we talk about knowing our own heart's desire, and knowing what we really want, what we really feel, it's really about connecting with ourselves as an eternal being, and that is characterized by love. So that comes in to us through the inner door of our heart. Now, when we interact with other people, then we express our love. It has to go out through the outer door of the heart into the world. And the concept in this chapter is that we can make choices about how we express our love into the world in a way that is safe for us, that's appropriate. So we're not going to be as intimate with everyone. Mm-hmm. We will share things of ourselves with others who have demonstrated that they are safe for us to do that. We're not going to have the same relationship with everyone, but we can love everyone unconditionally. So opening the inner door of the heart is saying, I'm connected with who I really am at all times. I know my own nature as a being of love. Opening the outer door is saying, I'm choosing to express unconditional love to you in whatever way is appropriate in this time, in this relationship. Mm-hmm. So if somebody is not trustworthy, we can still love unconditionally, but we might have more distance with that person. Mm-hmm. So, or if somebody is trying to suck us dry, for example, we might close the outer door of our heart in that circumstance to make a boundary, and yet inside we still feel unconditionally loving. In other words, we still see that other person as a divine being, just like ourselves. Mm. We see their goodness. We have respect for who they are. We just are being practical that in an outer way, that's not someone we are at this time going to let ourselves get too entangled with, because mm-hmm. it's not a safe, good idea.
So that's almost like it goes back to a very similar, the idea of, you know, if you have someone, I mean, metaphorically or just realistically, you have someone outside your door and they have a gun. You don't necessarily open the outdoor of your house and like, come on in, come on in and you know, shoot me or do whatever you want because I have unconditional love for you. You have an outer door that you open or close depending on what's appropriate, meaning what's safe. And then what's appropriate, meaning in the context, like I may not have my boss that I'm giving, you know, unconditional love to, but I would for my son or husband, which is appropriate. Is that what you meant by appropriate and safe?
Well, the goal is to have unconditional love for everyone, but to choose how we express it in a way that shows also love to ourselves. Mm. And so the way that you would express unconditional love to your boss at work, let's say your boss is a difficult person, not an easy person to love, maybe prickly, maybe judgmental, you might choose your words more carefully with your boss. You might tread more carefully to avoid setting off a mine explosion.
Mm-hmm.
But your internal point of view toward the boss is, in its highest form, still one of respecting that person as a fellow being, as someone who, as we said earlier, maybe is having a hard day, maybe just doesn't really know what he's doing in terms of relationships with other people. So there still can be an atmosphere inside ourselves of respect, of caring. The gist of love is the attitude of, I want the very best for you.
Mm-hmm.
And when we fall into a thing of wishing other people ill, you know, like I wish you'd drop dead or something.
Right. Or I'm going to get revenge or whatever.
Yeah. Well, revenge pulls us into what is not love. The absence of love. Really, everything is love, but we can create pockets in space and time that have a void, that have less love or a distortion of love. And the problem with revenge or wishing someone ill, malice, is that we go then into that void. It hurts us more than it hurts the other person. So the more that we can love unconditionally, the better we're going to feel, the happier we're going to be, the more we're going to grow. So it really is in one's true enlightened self-interest to try to find love and forgiveness for everyone. But it has to be authentic. And if you really don't feel it in the moment, if your feeling in the moment is, I wish you'd just drop dead, then there's also a part of yourself that needs your love at that time. Mm-hmm. And so just repressing it and putting a frozen smile on your face and grinning through your gritted teeth, that is not as skillful as saying, okay, I've got some work to do here. This person is really bothering me. I'm finding him or her hard to love. What do I need to do? Now, our inner child doesn't have a lot of skills because it's just a child. Mm-hmm. So there's a part of all of us that is vulnerable and innocent and powerless. And so the idea of, I just want you to drop dead, is really the inner child saying, I don't know how to cope with you, and I want you to just go away and leave me alone because this hurts too much.
Mm-hmm.
That's really
mm-hmm.
all it is. It can harden into something really cruel and vicious and horrible. But the initial impulse may be something that's just the child needs to be held, needs to be comforted. It needs mm-hmm. for the adult part of you to step on board and say, I've got this, I'm going to keep you safe, don't worry, nothing bad's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then
mm-hmm.
you can work your way out of that drop-dead kind of attitude and reason it through. Say, okay, well, why is this person behaving this way and why am I reacting so negatively to it? And then you've used a bad situation to grow. And mm-hmm. what happens then is that the next time something similar comes up, you will handle it better.
Mm-hmm. So this is really just another look at the previous segment when we were talking about how you deal with your anger, or in this case it's malice or revenge. It's really a part of you that your inner child that needs to be protected, or part of you that just feels threatened or has past baggage, and it's those kind of feelings that aren't "I want the best for you." Whenever you don't have the "I want for best the best in you," then it's kind of a good signal to like go on the inside and figure out what's happening with respect to your own emotions and the confusing reactions that you have. Now let me go back to that's what I hear. Now let's go back to the inner and outer, the relationship. Oh, to those two. We only have a minute, so tell us quickly. How does what is the inner door then? You mentioned that that's connecting to the essence of who you are at all times, which is love, truth, and beauty. How does that work then? Does the outer door close and you walk into your inner sanctum and tune into love, truth, and beauty? Is that how you get to the "I want the very best for you"?
What often happens is that when we have an experience that scars us in some way, where we felt betrayed by someone we had trusted, maybe our parents when we were very mm-hmm. young, mm-hmm. we tend to shut down. Mm-hmm. And what we do, because we're not very skillful yet, we shut down both doors. Mm. We not only say, "I can't trust that person and I need to be careful around him or her," we also shut down to ourselves. And so sometimes what needs to happen is that we need to become vulnerable again, and sometimes our defenses have to be broken, even shattered. Maybe someone who really does love us and we're not able to love back appropriately because we've shut down both doors. And if we're not opening the door, the inner door, to our essence, to our soul, then we can't love another person. We have no control over it. So the trick is to learn to keep the inner door open at all times, and then to make conscious choices about in what way we will open the outer door in specific circumstances. And that's more mastery. That's more of the mastery of the art of living.
And in the next segment, we're going to be talking all about that, I think, in a slightly different form, but it's how do you actually open up to the love that you have inside of you. So we will be right back, and we'll talk about that when we get back.